Got your Bibles? Turn to Acts chapter 2, would you? Verse 42. It's on page 884 if you want to use one of the Bibles that are underneath the chairs. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Page 884 in the Pew Bibles. If you got it, look up and smile, please. All right, we got some people smiling. Here we go. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. During this next month, we've chosen to dwell in this passage for a while and concentrate on four descriptive characteristics of this early church. And they are in order: devotion, connection, action, and transformation. We've chosen this direction because, as you can see in Acts chapter 2, God worked in a great way in this early church, and we want him to work in a great way in and through us as well. Last week, the key word was devotion. And right away in Acts 2, we see that they were not devoted to just things like the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayer. They were also devoted, right in the middle of the same verse, to one another, to people, to the fellowship. This week's key word is connection. And we dare not miss the importance because the church is not the church without it. I want to read a verse to you. It's Ephesians 1:5. It's from the NLT translation. It says that God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. The NIV has it. He chose us in him, in Jesus, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Folks, that's why we're here. The Bible says that he planned everything in the entire universe, even before its creation, toward that end. And this book, God's Word, is a story of how God is actively carrying that out. We open it up and we've got the Old Testament, and it gives us a glimpse, just a glimpse of how great God is and how much we need him and what keeps us apart, our own sin. Then we have the Gospels, which reveal how God came to us in his Son. First of all, to make sure we know how much he loves us. And secondly, that he gave himself for us to remove, to take upon himself on the cross the sin that keeps us apart. And then we have the book of Acts, the story of the church taking the gospel out so that all might have the opportunity to be reconciled, reconnected, if you will, first to God himself and then to others around us. What I want us to understand today is how important a role the church plays in God's plan for you and for others. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "I'm writing so that you'll know how to live in the family of God." And that family is the church. Now, the reason why I have that on the screen is because mentally, I want you to connect the words family and church. Because the church is a family. Other translations have this as God's household, which is the church of the living God. The emphasis being on the people, not the building. Because the church isn't a building, it's not an institution, it's not an organization, it's not a club, it's a family, it's God's people, it's the ecclesia, God's called out ones coming together. Now, we know how it goes. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to church, as if church was a place that you go to, a destination. And everybody knows what you mean. I do it all the time. But it lends itself to wrong thinking, because church isn't a place that we go to. It's more than a building, more than a service. It's a family that we're to belong to, and there's a big difference. And as we look a little closer, we're going to see that in God's family, there are essentially like these four levels of fellowship. And today we're going to examine the first two, and we need to do this, first of all, because it's God's plan, and secondly, because we need each other. Whether we want to admit it or not, we need each other. Four levels of fellowship. You guys got your worship folders? There should be an outline in there. Four levels of fellowship. The first level is membership. The first level is, if you'd write this in the blank, please, choosing to belong. It's making the choice to belong. It's the most basic level. Listen to what the Bible has to say in Ephesians 2:19. One translation has it, you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. You belong. Catch this. The Christian life is not just a matter of believing. It's also a matter of belonging. And you and I must choose to belong. Fellowship begins with belonging, with making that choice. God wants you to make the choice to be a part of his family. Now, it starts with Jesus. But when you choose Jesus, you get his family. I mean, one goes with the other, although some try to fight that. You know what I mean? Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to belong to any church? Well, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to be a smart aleck, but that doesn't make any sense, you know? That doesn't come from here. The church is where you first begin to live out what it means to be a Christian. What they're saying is kind of like saying, I'm a football player, but I don't want to be a part of a team. First of all, what's the point? And secondly, it's not going to work, you know? Because ultimately what we're talking about here, this belonging, is only important because it's God's plan. And yes, the plan includes you, but it's not all about you. Remember, God is trying to do something in this world, and he has determined to use the church to do it. Paul said in Ephesians 3 that his whole job, his whole ministry, his calling, involved making plain what God has been planning all along. Ephesians 3:10, his intent, God's intent, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Then he goes on to say in verse 11, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this very basic truth is why Rick Warren, the author of the book Purpose Driven Life, makes a big deal in his book about how it's only in America that we have what he calls floating believers. He's talking about people who continually go from church to church to church. One week I'm a part of this church, and next week, oh, they're doing something cool over here, and you know, next week I'm somewhere else. It may not be quite that fast, but you get the point. Folks, if you want to grow, if you want to see God do some significant work in your life or to be used by God in a significant way, you need to get connected somewhere else, or else you're going to go back to being like that football player without a team. You need to get connected somewhere. And something else we need to consider here is this whole idea of the church. Jesus loves the church. Ephesians 5 says that he loved her, that he gave her himself up for her. The church is even regularly referred to as the bride of Christ. Now, if I said to one of you guys, you know, I think that you're great, but I can't stand your wife. How would you like that? How would you like hearing that? Or how would you like it if I continually set out to avoid her or regularly cut her down? I don't think it would fly very well, do you? Please understand this. The church is the bride of Christ, warts and all. It's what he's invested in. The Bible also routinely refers to the church as Jesus' body. Romans 12:5. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. What if I said to you, you know, I love you, I just can't stand your body, you know? Might that offend you a little bit, you know? We need to hear it because Jesus gave himself up for the church because he considers it his bride, his body, an extension of him working in this world. We're talking about even this body of believers who have gathered and are going together right here. You and I need to have that same kind of love, same kind of commitment to him by deciding, by choosing to belong. And there's a time for that. A specific time for becoming one with Jesus and his church. And it's called baptism. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 12:13 has to say about it. This is the Message paraphrase, but it says it well. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrected body. Now, hear me. I'm not talking about what your parents did for you when you were young. I'm talking about a choice you make to belong to Jesus Christ and to become a part of his body. The NIV has that same verse, 1 Corinthians 12 through 13. He says, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, meaning it doesn't matter where you came from or who you are. This is his plan. Chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, first gospel message proclaimed. The context that our original passage is born out of. In response to the people recognizing their need and asking, what shall we do? Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Next verse, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 41. The very next verse, our text, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Four levels of friendship. First level is membership, choosing to belong. The choice to belong starts there. Second level that we're going to call, for lack of a better term, friendship level. Write this in, would you please? Learning to share. From the very beginning, God has said that it's not good for man to be alone. In other words, we're made for each other. Life isn't a solo act. You need people to walk alongside of you. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 44, all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. Please hear a couple things. Meeting together was crucial, and their choice to share deepened their relationships significantly. These basic choices became difference makers. For example, let's step out of there for a while. It's something that we can just grab hold of and realize. Have you ever noticed some people who have, I mean, they have really deep relationships, long-term friendships. I'm talking 20, 30 years, something like that. And you go, man, how lucky, you know? You may even be a little envious how lucky they are to have a deep friend like that. And I say to you, it's not luck at all. It's a choice. You choose to develop friendships by making time for them. You know why a whole lot of people are lonely? They don't make time for friendships. Too busy achieving, too busy working, too busy doing other things. They're not willing to put the time into it. You have to meet together. You have to get together. And until you start saying, this is going to be a priority in my life, because God says it is, you're not going to develop any real connection, any deep friends, whether we're talking about here or anywhere else. They don't just happen. They happen because you choose to make the time for them. That's why we're going to emphasize again and again and again, this relationship stuff is important. It's the glue that holds people together. It keeps pulling them back. And it's not just a matter of luck or chance. It's a choice. Here's the second part of that verse in Acts 2. You can't develop friendships without sharing, and it says they shared everything. The NIV has it, they had everything in common. Now, those of you who are parents know that, I mean, one of the fundamental lessons children have to learn is learning to share. And make no mistake, it is a learned experience. Each little child has to learn to share. This is not a natural type thing. And God says, you know what, in the family of God, I want you to learn to share with other believers. Okay, then what are we supposed to share? Well, by this text, by itself, clearly our stuff, you know, the various possessions that God has entrusted to us, they're included. But the Bible's full of instructions on things that we're to share as Christians with each other. I'm going to mention just three this morning. Got your outlines? First of all, the Bible clearly says that we're to share our lives with one another. Did you know that there are over 50 one another passages in the New Testament? Things that we too often blow by, but they're important. They're commands. Love one another, John 13. Be devoted to one another and honor one another in Romans 12. Serve one another, Galatians 5. Bear with, kind of like put up with each other, Galatians chapter 4. And you can't do that stuff alone. We share our lives. Second thing on your outline, we're also to share our homes. Bible says in 1 Peter 4:9, New Century Version, open your homes to each other without complaining. The NIV has it, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I like it that they put that in there. We all know why the Holy Spirit put that in there, that we're supposed to do it without grumbling or complaining. But notice that it doesn't start off by saying, you know, if it's a really nice home, open up. It doesn't say that. Why is this such a big deal? Why are we to share our homes? I'll tell you why. It's because you can't fellowship in a crowd. You can only fellowship in a small group or one-on-one. Please understand, we're not going to do any fellowshipping in this room today. It's not going to happen unless you choose to break up in a smaller group later on, because it's impossible to fellowship with this many people. We can worship together. We can celebrate together. We can learn together. No fellowship is going to take place in this service. You're going to walk out of here, and you're not going to know another any more than you already know them. Fellowship takes place in a small group, and that's why the Bible says open up your homes to each other. That's where you really get to know people. And that's why some of you, even after quite some time here, may still feel like you're on the outside looking in. That's why you aren't ever really going to feel a part of the Fifth Avenue family until you get into a group. It's important because it's in that belonging, it's in the process of that sharing that Christ works. Not only do we share our lives and our homes, Scripture also says that we're to share our problems. Would you write it in? Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, the NLT, share each other's troubles and problems. The NIV uses the word burdens. Anybody ever feel weighed down in this world? Of course you do. It's a broken world. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4 says, the God of all comfort, that's quite a neat promise and title all by itself. The God of all comfort, now get the progression, all right? The God of all comfort comforts us, talking to the church, in all of our troubles, so that, purpose statement, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. But again, to do that, We got to get together. Can't happen independently. It's why the Bible says this in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. A primary purpose of coming together is to encourage each other. That word, I love it. It's the same word that's used to describe the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It literally means we're to walk alongside one another. Don't give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, come together and walk alongside each other in this broken world. Don't give up the habit, because you're always going to need encouragement, and people are always going to need help, and we can always learn from one another. Now, while I'm talking about this, I got to believe that some of you, somewhere in the past, I got a sketchy idea of how small groups have worked here or not worked here in the past, you know. Some of you somewhere have tried a group, and for one reason or another, you didn't really feel like that you fit. So what do? Try another one, okay? Don't give up. Get one that fits. It's all right. Just don't give up. For example, a little while back, I'm new to this area, finding out favorite places and all this stuff. I went to a new restaurant, and when I... Well, long story short, it wasn't very good, you know. Kind of dirty. Service was poor. Food was such that I left a whole bunch on a plate, and I paid too much for it, you know. Not a good experience. So after that experience, now you gotta, you can tell by my physique, I take that important, or this is something that I enjoy. After that one experience, I have decided that I'm never going to go out and eat again. That's a lie, all right? Not going to happen. I'm going to try another place. You got in a group, and it fell apart, or you didn't mesh, or the timing just kind of faded. You were hoping for this, and it came in at this. What do? Try another group. I give you permission. If it doesn't fit, try another one. Because this is a part of his plan for building you up in Jesus Christ. It involves belonging to and sharing with other people. I'm not going to go off. All we got to do is look at the fruits of the Spirit, this kind of like barometer, whether you're growing or not, and none of them can happen just by yourself. They all involve relationships with others. Get in a group. And if you're not in a group, it's not too late. Everybody smile. It's your lucky day. We got some tables set out there, and we've got a few new groups that are starting. We're going to have some new group leaders that are going to be behind the tables, and if you're not a part of a group, you're invited to browse. I would much prefer you decide that you're going to choose, okay? Because God says it's important, not just a new program. We've got some new groups that are starting. Now, here's what you need to hear. We're trying to get on different days and different things. It may not fit yet, okay? So go out and see if something fits, and if it doesn't fit, Patrick's going to be in the back over here. We've opened up this area. Small groups are so important that we're going to make sure that we've got a place where everybody can connect all the time, all right? Patrick's going to be back here, and if it's because of a day or whatever it might be, that's not working, go talk to Patrick, get your name, what day might work, and we're going to try to fill that as quickly as we can, all right? But we have an opportunity to be able to respond over here. Because Scripture says small groups are that important to bring about his purpose in your life and to use this congregation in a way to impact the community around us. This devotion, hear that please, this devotion to fellowship was one of the key identifying characteristics of the early church that God used so greatly. It was in this setting that lives were transformed and the community was impacted. It was in a small group setting that life change and vital ministry happened. Hear me, please. This was the norm of the early church for people to be connected like this. That's how the early church functioned, and it was this kind of model that God was able to bless. Folks, we want it to become abnormal for a person not to be in a group, because until a person regards belonging, connecting, not only to Christ but to this congregation, but also to an ongoing small group setting as a part of their spiritual and life experience, they are at risk. You are at risk of becoming disconnected from this or any other body of believers. And that's not only unscriptural, it's dangerous to your faith. We want to develop people to the point where small group belonging and sharing is as customary as weekend church attendance, because that's the model that the Bible shows most effectively transform people, and that's the model that allowed God to use those same people in a mighty way. So let me ask you a couple relevant questions. Are you plugged into those kind of levels of fellowship yet? Look at your outlines again. Have you made it to the first one, choosing to belong? It's not just a matter of believing. It's also a matter of belonging. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Look on the screen, please. Galatians 3, beginning with verse 26. You are talking to the church. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Are you in? Have you made that decision to belong to Him, to be one with Him? That's the most basic level. If you haven't done that, that's your next step. If so, if you've done that, are you still floating from church to church and attending here and attending there? No real accountability or plugged-in place of service and growing. You've never chosen to commit to a body of believers so that you can know and be known, love and be loved, serve and be served. You need to choose a church. We're not the only one, but we're going to try to point to Christ. And we're going to try to grow. If either one of those scenarios resemble you, you need to respond today, because God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. That's the first level. Then you need to learn to share. And where do you do that? You do it in a small group. You don't learn that in a setting like this, and that's why we're making small groups available to you. So jump into one. Choose to do so. They have the capacity to make the difference in deepening your relationship with Christ and others according to God's plan. Fully devoted connection, God's plan for you and me. We can learn from the early church. We can see how God blessed. We can long for the same things. We can ask for that grace, that blessing. But we gotta make some choices in the middle of it. Would you pray with me, please? Father, forgive us. Your model, your plan's been before us for a long time. And the truth is that we can get into daily routines, habits that become, I don't know, lifetime choices. We don't intend it, but it happens. We settle rather than aspire for your best. May we long for a fresh working of you in our lives. May we long for the kind of relationships that identify the greatness of your love for us. May we long for the kind of relationships and opportunities to show the world that we're your disciples by our love for one another, Lord, please. Help us to choose well how we're investing our life. Please. There are some in this room that need to choose your son. Give them, please. May they hear you. It's been your plan from the beginning. You love them that much. We've got some in this room that need to make a choice, no matter how long they've known you, to invest, to devote again. I pray that you'll give us the boldness to trust you in it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to stand.